So I am a newlywed, if you did not know that. My wife, Joni, she was the one who was leading worship earlier. So we got married in May. So that's right, right? So I don't want to get that messed up. It's a little too early to start messing that up. And let me tell you, it's been great. We haven't really fought. We've got all of our furniture now in our house, so we're living comfortably. So everything is good. We're not fighting. We're getting along. Marriage has been smooth sailing so far. Now, that's not to say I have not been learning any lessons during this time, because I've definitely learned a few lessons. I've learned a lot, actually. The first lesson that I've learned is that my wife thinks that we need 100 Tupperware for some reason in the house. Like, we have so many Tupperware. It's crazy. You know the plastic bins, you know, you put your leftovers in? We have so many Tupperware for some reason, and I don't understand why it is. It's like the leftover spaghetti is going to attack, and we need to box them all up or something. So the reason why we have, like, 100 Tupperware is because she put it on the registry before we got married. She actually asked for a ton of Tupperware. It's not like people were just giving us a bunch that we didn't ask for. She actually put it on there for people to get for us. And you know, before you get married, you have a wedding shower. And does anyone remember their wedding shower, by the way? Okay, so a few of us remember the wedding shower. Ladies, that is like the best Christmas you will ever have. It's amazing. You get all the things you could want. Guys, you're just praying that you don't have to be there. That's not one of those where the guys have to come too to the wedding shower. Unfortunately, mine was one of the ones where the guys had to go to the wedding shower also. So I had to be there, and you know, we take turns opening the gifts and stuff. And I remember I held up so many kitchen tools and different things that I had no idea where it was. I would unwrap and I go, oh, I have no idea what this is. And everyone would clap and cheer, and it was great. And it was just like a bunch of kitchen stuff and gadgets, which she appreciated. But after about the fifth box of Tupperware, I was like, what is going on right now? What is happening? This is ridiculous. We do not need this much Tupperware in our house. And after we got married, I expressed how ridiculous that was, that we had so much Tupperware. So I learned my second lesson of marriage. I learned that words matter. You need to be careful what you say. Perhaps I came on a little too strong. You need to be careful. Well, words really do matter. What you say to your spouse, to your kids, to your coworkers online, it even matters what you say when people are not in the room. Words can be really destructive, in fact. Words, they can hurt, they can divide, they can even sink a battleship. Did you know that? So in World War II, they started a propaganda campaign, the military did, telling people, loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink ships. And they would put it on posters and they hang it up in workplaces and all this stuff. And it was to dissuade military personnel and citizens from sharing information that could hurt the war effort. Now, we're not talking about secrets that are being sold to a traitor. A traitor is selling secrets to an enemy state. We're talking about just gossip, just words that regular people like me and you say during the week. And they were so fearful that it could wreck the war effort, just people talking. The wrong words can cost you your friendships. The wrong words can cost you your relationships. The wrong words can even cost fellowships, like a church body. It can be extremely destructive. Have you ever heard sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That is so untrue. That is so untrue. There have been plenty of words that have hurt me. There are things I remember from 20 years ago that I still carry around with me. Maybe there's something in your life that comes to mind that you still remember from when you were young and that you still carry with you that still hurts. We never want to be the ones that do that to other people, that hurt others with our words. The tongue is a small thing, but it can cause so much pain and trouble in our lives. Tonight, I want to talk to you about taming the tongue and avoid sinking the most important ships in our lives that we have. The Bible actually has a lot to say about the tongue itself. In fact, we're going to read in James 3, and we're going to read quite a few verses here, but it's going to set up what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you have your Bibles, turn to James 3. Indeed, We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Some translations say evil. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Have you ever heard the expression, liar, liar, pants on fire? Well, I'll let you figure out where the fire comes from. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude. I've practiced this word, I promise. This is a hard word. Similitude. In fact, go home and say it over and over again, and you'll figure out what a tongue twister that is. Similitude, it means in the likeness of God, similar to God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. The tongue is a twisted thing. We bless God with our tongue, but then we turn around and we curse others with it. Now, don't get too high and mighty and go, oh, this message isn't for me. I've never used a curse word in my life. It's more than that. It's a curse to others when we gossip, when we lie, when we spew negativity and anger to others. The tongue is a powerful thing. In fact, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Don't think you're not immune to that verse. This proverb makes me think of a couple in Acts chapter 5, where they learn pretty quick that death is, in fact, the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There we go. Like I said, it's a tongue twister tonight. We're talking about the tongue. I'm going to say tongue and words a lot, okay? So this couple's name is Ananias and Sapphira. And during this time, the church was just starting out. And Christians were devoted to helping one another, especially to those in need. And from time to time, those that own land or a house or some sort of property, they would actually sell their property and they would give it all to church leaders so that they could distribute it to anyone who was in need. Now, that's a big deal. Imagine this. You sell your car, you sell your house, you sell everything you have and just give it away. You don't get any of it. You just give it away to help others. That's crazy that none of us could even fathom doing such a thing. Ananias and Sapphira thought that sounded good also. They thought, okay, we'll do that too. Now, I don't really know what their reasoning was. Maybe it was that they thought it would make them look good because everyone else was doing it. They should do it too. Well, they sold a piece of property and they kept some of the money for themselves. And they presented the rest as if it was the entirety of the sale that they made. So in Acts 5, we actually read what happens next. And I'm just going to read it straight out of my Bible because I was trying to write this out and figure out what's an interesting way I can tell this story and illustrate it. And I was like, well, you know, the Bible just tells it way better than I can. So we're just going to read it straight from the Word tonight. So it starts Acts 5, and I'm going to start verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Now get this. Watch what happens next. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. So, remember, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. So there's one more we got to deal with. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. That's a wild story. That's not an easy one to tell in kids' church, I'll tell you what. That is a wild story to be telling. The issue, though, here was not that they kept some of the money to themselves. Peter said it. It was their property. They could do as they pleased with the proceeds from the sale. The problem is that they lied about their benevolence, and worse, they tried lying to the Lord. You don't lie to the Lord. They had no fear of the Lord. You can't lie to him. He's omniscient. He knows all. The church needed a wake-up call. They needed to know that you don't lie to the Lord, that you honor him. You treat his name with reverence. His Holy Spirit, that's not something to just play around with. You need fear of the Lord. We need a wake-up call, church. We need to know that words have power and that there is life and death in what we say. I don't think that he's going to strike you down next time you tell a lie. I hope not, because a lot of us would be in trouble. Your words, though, may not cost your life, but they can cost your friendships. They can cost your relationships. They can cost your relationship with your kids, your job, your reputation. It can cost you your marriage if you're not careful with the words you use. Proverbs 12 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Let's not be reckless with our words. I can't cover everything tonight when it comes to talking about our words and talking about the tongue, but I do want to share some biblical wisdom that the Lord put on my heart to share so that we can be wise in how we use our tongue. So I'm going to cover a few different things as we go along tonight. But first, we're going to talk about this, since we're already talking about Ananias and Sapphira. We're going to talk about lying. Let's talk about lying for just a minute. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." The saying is, liar, liar, pants on fire. No one says, truth or you're a rooster. I don't know. That's all I could think of that rhyme. Because the truth is what's expected of us already. No one congratulates you for going, "Oh, you're a truther. Good job." That's not how it works, because it's what's expected of us. As people who know the truth, we should be truth tellers. It's expected of us. Everything that is said should be true. Lying hurts your credibility. In fact, I remember several years ago, I was talking to this teenager in the youth, and I asked him what he did for summer break, and he's telling me about how he went to Disney World. Okay, sounds great. And he met Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Okay, that's interesting. And then he visited NASA. Okay, yeah, so those are both in Florida. Okay, that's good. But he got to fly a rocket ship. And I was like, okay, so you're a liar then. And I could never take this kid seriously after that. Every conversation was like that with this kid. I never could trust a word that came out of his mouth after that. It is hard to trust someone that lies. I'd rather be friends with an honest, boring person than someone who lies all the time. None of us want to be known as liars. None of us want our pants to be on fire. Be someone who tells the truth. Every lie you tell breaks that, breaks the trust that person has in you. Every lie you tell breaks down your credibility. It lets people know that your words, they do not mean much. And bad enough, a lie is something that can actually ruin a person's life. Excuses are a close cousin to lying, by the way. It lets people know that you're not serious about the commitments you have. Every excuse you give for why you weren't on time, or you didn't do that at work, or you ignored your spouse, erodes trust also. The truth may not always be easy, but don't ruin a relationship or hurt your witness with someone because you don't deal in truth. Trust is currency for those that deal in truth. Those that don't are bound to lose trust. Gossip. Ooh, this is the one that's always like, ooh, because everyone struggles with it at some point in their life on a certain level. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's in most parts." Ever had a can of Pringles before, or maybe a bag of chips, and you eat one, like, no one eats just one Pringle. No one goes, "Oh, that was good, I'm satisfied now." No, you get the salt on your fingers, you lick the salt off your finger, you're like, "Oh, that's pretty good," and you reach in, you eat another one, and you eat another, and before long, half the can is gone. It's like, oh my gosh, where did it all go? I meant to just eat one or two. What is happening? That's gossip. It tastes good going down. You eat one, you eat another, and ooh, that's pretty good. I like that. That's what it's like with gossip. It tastes good going down. It's hard not to listen. Don't think this is just a problem your wife has, by the way, that, oh, it's just a woman, a female problem, gossip. Oh, those chatty Cathys. I know the stereotype. I'm bringing it up because I know some people think this way, that it's, oh, men don't gossip. Men don't struggle. Like, men, they don't hardly talk at all. Well, men are not immune to some tabloid gossip. Let me tell you. He's getting paid how much? He doesn't deserve to get paid that. I hear they're cleaning house on the coaching staff. Like the Cowboys, oh man, it's rough, man. Like I don't know what they're gonna do with Dak this year. That senator so-and-so, he carries around an oxygen tank. He's barely lucid. Like he's gonna die. So like I don't know why they keep putting him up there. Gossip, rumors, drama. We're addicted to it. Proverbs 16 says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." What is gossip good for? I'll tell you what. Causing division, causing separation, causing discord, causing disunity in people, in the church. In Romans, Paul actually writes about some people that are doing some not so good things, and I'm going to read to you just a little bit of what he said about these people. And he's already listed a bunch of wrongs these people do, so we're going to jump in the middle here. But Romans 1, starting at verse 29, Paul said, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers." The NIV says gossips, whispers. This is someone who's talking behind your back. Someone that it's not a public thing. They don't share these details publicly. They keep it on the low. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. I'm not that creative. I don't even want to know what they're coming up with. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The gossip is grouped in, you may notice, with the God haters, with the wicked, with the murderers, with the inventors of evil things. I still don't really know what that means. Don't think that gossip is an innocent thing. Oh, no one's gonna know. No one's gonna know. It's okay. It's just between us. It is sin, and God sees it as such. And I'm gonna throw this in here. I didn't plan on talking about this. One of the big things, and this is something that personally frustrates me because I've experienced it with people gossiping and making things up, is when people gossip as a currency. They go to you and they say something to you because they think, oh, this person, I'm going to earn some cred with this person. And they give you a little bit of information so that they can undermine someone else and they can earn a little cred with you. Be wary of those people. Careful what you say around your kids when it comes to gossip, when it comes to talking about others. Because this is something that can even hurt your kids. I remember a couple years ago, we had a kids worker who got in a car accident. He was going over a hill, and he couldn't see the car in front of him. The light was super backed up, and he rear-ended the car in front of him. Well, this sweet little first grade girl heard about it from her parents, and she came to the kids worker, I can't remember if it was Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and told him how it was his fault because he was probably on his phone or something, and that was really dumb to do. And the worker, I was talking to him, and he said that he was just shaken up from hearing this first grade little girl say this to him, that it was just so mean in the moment. But a first grader doesn't know anything about driving a car. Like, they don't know how to drive a car. They don't know that you're not supposed to look at your phone, you're supposed to pay attention. Like, they don't know those things. They don't know that that's what would cause an accident. She heard it from her parents. You may think that your gossip, that your criticism, and obviously that was a silly example, but you may think your gossip, your criticism of the church, that your criticism of people in the church, that it's okay because it's true. But what you're doing is you're polluting your kids who will grow up critical of religion and skeptical of God. Everything that is said should be true. That is true. But not everything that is true should be said. It is not always edifying to do that. We need to be careful what we share, especially with little ones, what we're saying to them, what they're hearing. Most of the time, we should just say less. I think when we hear gossip, that we should say only one of these two things. Why are you telling me this? And better yet, have you talked to them about it? That usually shuts down a gossip really quickly, because they're not interested in actually confronting the person that they supposedly have an issue with. I learned this the hard way as a teenager. I had a really close friend that gossiped and talked ugly about everyone. He gossiped about his family. He gossiped about his girlfriend. He gossiped about the church. He gossiped about other people in the youth. And I always felt uneasy about it. I never felt right about my friend gossiping. But I was naive. And I thought, well, he just trusts me. He's my best friend. He's just sharing his heart with me. Years into our friendship, I learned he was gossiping about me. He was doing the same thing to me that he was doing to others. And the personal things I shared, the prayers that I had been asking him to be praying for me and believing things for me, the straw that broke the camel's back was when he tried gossiping about me to my own mother. He asked me to go grab something out of the car. I walked out the car, and he took the opportunity to sit in our kitchen and tell my mom all these awful things, blah, blah, and this is happening, blah, blah. And it was crushing. When you're this person's your friend, you think, and you're asking for a prayer, and you think you're growing together, and you're even studying the Word together, and all this stuff, and then you discover, oh no, he's just taking what I'm saying and flipping it, because he's a gossip, a whisperer. And I remember what finally ended all that for me was when I read this verse, Proverbs 20:19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. The NKJV refers to a gossip again as a whisperer. You do not want to be around someone who gossips. Likewise, don't be someone who gossips. All it's good for is division, separation, disunity. So, the problem with our tongue isn't always gossip, though, or that we even struggle to tell the truth. I think some of you would agree that the problem is that sometimes we just speak when we're emotional, when we shouldn't say something, when we're angry, when we're upset with others. And out of anger or we're upset and we end up just, we say something we shouldn't say. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sin go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. That's often what happens. We sin when we're angry, when we're emotional, when it comes time to talk to that person that we're so upset with. I wish sometimes that just a giant metal stop sign would just appear before me and it would just keep me from saying something I regret. A guy, in fact, just the other day, and a guy in front of me, he slammed his brakes on a green light to let someone in that was in the left turn lane only. And my forward collision warning went off, and I braked hard, and the first thing out of my mouth was, "What a moron!" Like, I was upset, I was mad, I was angry. And then there were a few other variants of that I said. And I was just mad, I was upset. I couldn't keep my tongue tamed. The twisted tongue was twisting. That's some random guy on the street. What happens most often, though, is that those closest to us get the brunt of it, get the worst of it. I can take some guy yelling at me on the street. What I can't take is someone I love upset with me and telling me I'm this and that, and they're upset with me because of this. Well, you did. You said. It was your fault. Too often, we're careless with our words, with our loved ones. And in our anger, we say something hurtful. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is a verse that annoys me a little bit because it challenges me to do better, to say less. But they deserve it. They wronged me. They're being unreasonable. Everything that is said should be true, but not everything true should be said. We risk too much for no gain when we speak out in anger, in wrath, in negativity. I especially see this right now in our culture online, where we herd our witness with angry, critical posts. I hardly even bother scrolling through my Facebook feed anymore because I think it's gone so bad because I leave feeling so negative and so upset about the state of the world. In fact, I think I saw the other day a meme with a minion, you know, the little yellow dudes from Despicable Me, and a bunch of four-letter words about road work in Dallas. And I was like, really? Like the minions? Like what has got you so upset? And immediately, I just got off. And I was like, why am I even on this? This is horrible. I feel horrible even seeing this stuff. But there are so many bitter people that just post and post and post about the state of the world, and they just worry and worry and worry, and everything is doom and doom and doom. And what does that offensive post do to help anything? Other than alienating people who need more to hear about the good news of Jesus than they do to your political dogma. We should all post less about the problems of the world and pray more about them. Don't ruin your witness with careless social media posts. That is a tragedy to do. Imagine that person at work who may not have the same views as you, but you accuse them of X, Y, and Z, and oh, they believe this way, and so blah, 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 and oh man, they're horrible, and they're going to hell, and all this stuff. Do you think they want to know the Jesus you know? I'll mention one more thing off to the side about this. Parents, careful that you don't ruin your authority to speak in your child's life with careless words. It is easy to say something foolish that hurts your child or burns bridges in a moment of anger. It can take years to repair that relationship. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's what the word tells us. Don't ruin your authority to speak into your child's life because you said something careless in a moment of anger. So, what should we do with our twisted tongue? What should we do about our twisted tongue, our tongue that is so hard to keep in control? I'm going to give you two things real quick. One, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. In the kids' church, whenever we talk about this, I always go, all right, stick your tongue out. All right, grab it. Watch your tongue. And watch your tongue. Be careful with your tongue. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. I like how the NLT puts it. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. That one's for me. It's in words I understand. Joni tells me that a lot, okay? Not really. I want to encourage you this week to watch your tongue. Keep track of what you say. I actually mean this. After every conversation this week, grade it as either positive or negative. Negative being that you gossiped, you talked negatively about something or someone, you told a little lie. You'll be surprised how quickly some of us are going to fail by the end of the night. And I wouldn't be surprised if I'm one of them. Then, once you do that, once you come out of a conversation, you go, oh, that was bad. That I did not talk in a way that I'm supposed to. Figure out what it is that you're struggling with. And be active about changing your speaking habits. Be actively praying that the Holy Spirit helps you in that. Because he can and he will. So first thing, watch your tongue. Second thing we need to do with our twisted tongue, edify. Edify. Ephesians 4:29 says, and this is one of my favorite verses to preach on to the kids. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit, it may edify those who listen. The only thing that should come out of our mouth should be things that edify, that build others up. Unwholesome talk should never come out of these lips. We should never say things that tear others down, that's untrue, that hurts. Remember that you have too much to lose when you speak carelessly. It can cause a lifetime of destruction. I remember when we were in the midst of the pandemic in 2020, and I was the church janitor, and I was finishing college, and no one was hiring because, you know, churches weren't really, you know, it was kind of this weird place. Some churches were open, some weren't, and even the ones that were open, there weren't many people going, and it was just a mess. So I was just feeling so discouraged, so down, like I was never going to do anything with my life. And I remember one day I was mopping the coffee corner out here, and a friend walked down the hall, and he said something encouraging to me. He said something, I don't even remember what he said. He said something about me being a hard worker or something like that. And I don't know exactly what it was about it, but I remember the feeling I had. I felt encouraged. I felt built up. It edified me. It was small. It was just in a passing moment, but it built me up. And that was just a small thing in a passing moment. Imagine a church body that's always encouraging, that's always edifying, that is considerate about how our words will affect others. That church we talked about in Acts 5 that was selling everything they had to help those in need, I have to imagine that was a church known by their fruits, by the good that they did for others. Imagine if every time someone talked about Christians, that they walked away feeling encouraged, loved. They felt important when they talked to you. That they went, oh man, those Christians, they're always so encouraging. I love having one in my office. They just do such good work, and they're so kind, and they're always positive. They're always happy. Imagine that when someone does something that makes you mad, that they're taken aback, not by your response because you yelled and were angry, but they're taken aback by your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness for them. What you say should benefit those who hear it. Maybe you're here tonight and you've said some words that you can't take back, that it caused destruction in your life. in a relationship, the damage is done. But let me tell you this. Just because it's broken doesn't mean it can't be fixed. Just because it's sick doesn't mean it can't be healed. Healing it begins with some other words, though. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Make it right. Put aside your pride. Humble yourself. Come in humility. Don't ever discount the power that those words have when you come to someone in humility. I'm going to end by saying this. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Be someone who speaks faith. Not doubt, not anger, not gossip. Words can bring faith. Words can also bring doubt and frustration. Pray about the things that bother you. The people doing dumb that you want to gossip about, pray for them in faith. Don't speak more negativity into the world. There's enough of that as it is. So let me ask you this. What area of your life do you need to work on how you speak? Gossip? Sometimes lie to make yourself seem more impressive? Maybe you give excuses to get out of trouble. Maybe it's just hard to control your anger. You get frustrated with things and people. Maybe you're just careless when you speak. It's not an intentional thing. You're not mad. You're not upset. You're just careless. You say things flippantly without considering how it may affect the other person. Ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in you. He can and He will. Stand with me. We're going to pray so that you can be dismissed.